Lord, with this breastplate of being right with God, please protect all that is yours, our hearts, our souls, our gardens, where we welcome you in to spend intimate time with you, bringing joy and balm to your heart as well as our own. Thank you, Lord, for these protections over these most tender and precious parts of our being. Amen. Well, now that we have put on our helmet, heart dwellers, and are thinking, hearing, and speaking more with his mind and the mind of heaven than our own, when I ask for him to put on my armor, the breastplate is the next piece. I wanted to go through the messages and see what Jesus had already taught us about the breastplate of righteousness, and I found that he had already said quite a lot. So I've chosen three specific passages I wanted to share with you again about this breastplate and the garden of the heart, which resides too beneath the breastplate. And then I'll end with just a few observations about it that I have made lately myself. The first is from a message called This is a Time of Preparation from September 29, 2015. Jesus began, "The breastplate of righteousness protects your internal organs, your heart, your soul, your energy sources. As your conscience resides right in the center of your solar plexus, just below the heart, these are to be guarded with great care. How does one put on righteousness? Obedience to my known will. Deliberately transgress my known will, and immediately there is a hole in your armor which condemnation may enter through. You know you did what was not pleasing to me, and now your heart moves from loving me to fearing me. And the demons take full advantage of the opening to find myriads of ways to make you feel condemned. But you can fight them off easily if you have obeyed me, and you know you are standing in my will. What a beautiful defense this is. Nothing can touch a soul in my will through the breastplate of righteousness when you are living a life of daily obedience. To the degree that you are obedient to my will and my wishes, to that degree will your breastplate be ironclad tight and impenetrable. I want you to stand in these times when many are going to fall because they have not been prepared to fight the good fight. They do not know the value of suffering. They do not experience the times of profound refreshment in worship with me, and those two things have made them highly vulnerable. Most are trained to believe that when everything is going right in their lives, they are indeed in my will and my blessing. But more often than not, that is a perilous time for them. Satan no longer sees them as a threat, so he leaves them alone and disarmed. When a soldier in Christ begins to stand up boldly and live for me, he or she becomes an instant target. My brides, your resolve to do what is right to please me will draw opposition and trouble. That is why it is of the utmost importance that you know how to protect and replenish yourself in me. The next portion I found talks about the garden of the heart. That's one of my favorite parts. It is from You Are My Bride, My Garden Sealed, given May 27th, 2016. Jesus began, "When I see your devotion, your daily struggles, your fresh resolve, your careful examination of conscience and self-correction, I rejoice that such a one as this has given their lives to me. I find great solace and joy in dwelling in your hearts and listening to the meditations of your mind as you continue to draw closer and closer to me until we are one. I see your dry spells, and I watch your grief when you do not feel my presence, though I am always with you. I see how you recommit your life to me, sometimes hour by hour, day by day, saying over and over again, 'I just want more of you, Jesus. I want to love you with my whole heart.' I hear the times you cry out, 'Lord, have mercy on these souls.' I approve the meditations of your hearts and the faithfulness you reach for daily. How can I possibly describe to you the indescribable joy you bring to me? You are like a garden filled with luscious roses of all different colors and marvelous fragrance. Jasmine, lavender, and lilacs grow in profusion. Hidden between the beds of roses are precious lilies of the valley, giving off their own divine fragrance. Yes, your good deeds are manifested to me and all of heaven with a supernatural fragrance. The dewdrops rolling down each petal of the rose sparkles with delightful rainbows of color. The stones along the path are exquisite agate slabs, displaying intricate lacy patterns that reflect the hills of heaven. The birds that nest in your garden sing praises continually in this sheltered place of worship and peace. There they raise their young on the finest seeds and fruits. Your fruit trees are continually bearing the most delectable fruits, and this abundance is spread abroad, bringing nourishment to other souls whose gardens are not yet in full bloom. Even if I were to spend the rest of the night explaining to you the beauty of your souls, I could not do so adequately. I only make this feeble attempt to point you in the right direction of understanding who you really are before me. And I know you well, my brides. You will not accept these praises readily, for all credit is returned to me, your Creator. Nevertheless, your beauty is outstanding, and I would be remiss if I did not at least attempt to describe to you what I see and experience in your presence. I need these gardens to walk in at the cool of the day. The cries of the oppressed are ever before me, and when I enter your gardens, the fruit that you have borne answers my need to see graces fall upon good soil and bear good fruit. You are refreshing, rejuvenating, encouraging as you bring delight to my soul. This is why I shed these graces abroad, so they will eventually fall on good soil and bring forth a worthy harvest. It was some time after this last message that I began writing the book I did about Hannah that I shared with you a little portion of a while ago. The idea of a real garden in my heart fascinated me. Jesus has spoken so many times about the condition of our hearts and that our hearts are joined with His. So one day I asked Him all about it. He began, "I spend much time in your garden, just smelling the flowers and relaxing in its pleasant shade. Would you like to see more of it?" "Oh, of course, Lord." He continued, "Well, then let's take a tour. Here is the stream that we played in the other day and talked. See the big rock? That's where I lay against and played the flute for you. There are animal homes all around, big and little ones. They love you too. I play with them at times and remind them that soon I will be bringing you home with me for good. Here is a path that winds along the stream and ends at the swing you have seen me push you on. Surprised? Yes, this is all part of your garden." And I asked him, "But where is it, Lord?" "I thought it was in my heart. But this is a real place." And he continued, "Yes, love, it is in your heart, and it is a real place. It is very like the conch shell I took Ezekiel into. Each of you has a pathway from your hearts, because they are joined to mine, that leads to your own separate garden. They are private, able to be accessed only by you and I. No demon or evil force can touch it in any way. Yet you have seen in your friend that sin and disobedience and such can make the flowers start to wilt and fade, until you restore yourself fully to me in repentance and forgiveness. All are born with this garden, but it is up to the person to weed and keep it, or let it lie fallow in their lives. Yes, you are thinking of the story, The Secret Garden. This is very much like that. It lay fallow when the mother died, but with love and care and tenderness, the children brought it back to life. This is what happens when a soul does not stay with me right from the beginning of life. The garden goes into a state of hibernation of sorts. As they come to know me in life, it begins to bloom and grow and blossom. Each step of trust and faith that the soul makes brings more and more life into it. As faith grows, birds come. Animals begin to join the festivities. Soon, as a soul casts all care and belief and trust on me, the garden is bursting with life and song and musical flowers and joy. At this point, it is the soul's responsibility to keep her heart clean and pure, for now it is the little sins, the little disobediences, that cause the flowers to start to fade and the animals to go deep into their homes again. Even once you are in heaven, or especially, I should say, this garden will always be a place of access to me that none other will enter unless you invite them to. Now it will remain pure and lovely, so others may come and share it with you. Now I will be the guest of honor that brings in surprises and fun and even more joy. Isn't this delightful? And I had to laugh at that point, because he was so excited about all he had just shown me. He so delights in the things of his world that he reveals to us, and he is so excited to see the wonder in our eyes as we share these things together with him and with each other. The last reference Jesus made to a breastplate for the channel was in the message Spiritual Warfare 10, The Armor of God, given on September 13, 2016. He began, "The breastplate of righteousness protects that inner place, your heart, where I have taken up residence. Your conscience, if it is clear and clean with me, has nothing to accuse you. The accuser, as he is called, cannot cause you to become faint of heart. It is in matters of the heart that man is weakened, the sucker punch, the place of the soul where it abides, as in the bowels of mercy. These organs affect your emotions, and if they are vulnerable, you will collapse in battle. That is why it is so important to examine your conscience, confess your sins, and repent before going into battle. When you have done this properly, you know you are right with me, and nothing can stop you. No lie, accusation, bluff, psychological weapon can penetrate those tender areas and cause you to curl up in a ball and retreat." I want to add an aside here. I have found that it is so important to ask the Lord and Holy Spirit to thoroughly examine my heart along with me before I ask for him to put on the breastplate. He is about to wrap up the most tender parts of me that belong to him. And I want my heart, soul, and garden to be pure and spotless, fully confessed. Nothing there that I'm trying to hide from him. Not that I could. I take my time with this. I go back through the hours since I last confessed, and I literally ask him to walk along with me through the day before. I want him to point out any place I offended him, that I sinned, that I didn't obey in something, or allowed a seed to be planted, so that nothing stands between me and him. This cleansing and assurance that nothing is between us is what underscores my faith and trust in him. And as he goes on to say, "Now I am fully aligned with his heart, and no demon's lie or projection will unsettle me or make me afraid." Now to continue for the message, Jesus was speaking to Claire, "All your limbs rely on the proper functioning of your internal organs. When they are not in shape, the rest of the body is weak and vulnerable, unable to stand up against powerful onslaughts. And so the breastplate of being right with God is your protection that the whole system is able to operate at an optimum level. You have been washed clean in my blood and are now wearing my righteousness. It also protects your relationship with me. No one can steal me out of your heart." And Claire asked him, "But Lord, how is it possible for anyone to steal you out of their heart?" And he answered her, "If you have not come before me in repentance, if you are holding something back which is sinful, you will question if I will protect you because of that. The enemy lulls you to sleep. Oh, come on, just this one time, he'll forgive you." And so you continue the sin, and pretty soon you are walking in sin and have turned your back on me. Then you become lukewarm, and your relationship with me is lackluster, sick, and dying. There is a coldness where there was once joy. This can and does go on for years in some souls. The desire to be righteous, that is, right with me, keeps you from sinning more. When you fall, you come and repent, and I restore you and lift you back up. The last thing I wanted to mention is that once you are wearing the breastplate consistently, if and when you find yourself in need or desire for more protection in some way, ask him. For instance, some of the battles I had been through, I felt the need for more courage. And the day I asked for it, I saw the same gold cover my breastplate and the same silver embellishments of perseverance attached to it as had attached to my helmet when I asked. And not long ago, as I was asking for the breastplate, I heard Holy Spirit say to me, "Put on the hauberk of holiness first, little one." Well, I didn't know that word, hauberk. But when I looked it up, it's basically chainmail. This hauberk covers me from a rounded neck all the way down to my knees, and from my neck down to my arms and my wrists. He has been teaching us for so long to climb the mountain of holiness, and this is a welcome addition to me to hang on to the holiness he has built within me and protect it there. Let's go back into his words to Claire and remind ourselves just what holiness is. In one message, Jesus told Claire, "Ask me, Claire, for more personal holiness." She said, "Lord, please, reveal to me what this authentic holiness is all about." And he answered, "To want my will above all things, created or uncreated." Another time Jesus said, "I have taught you that first and foremost comes personal holiness, and that is your greatest protection." Another one he said, "Repentance is at the very core of holiness. How can I give gifts to those who waste them? There must be a deep-seated abhorrence of sin. And with sin, I add, wasting time on things that are innocent, but not for our best interests." And then I'll add one more. "I want you all to grow in holiness, my heart dwellers. Holiness is not just about being happy with your work when you are serving me, when things go well. Holiness is about being happy to do my will, especially when it deprives you of something. I like to have complete control of the helm, and in this way, you will always be blown to your destination by the sanctifying winds of grace that come with every trial." May the Lord bless you, dear heart dwellers, as he helps us walk further and further up this mountain of holiness. And may he protect you as he establishes this in your lives and my life. The Lord bless you, dear ones.